Thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Sponsored by FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com, the leader in single-day fantasy sports contests.
Roto Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up-to-the-minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Kondia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head game, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bach.
Hey everybody, we got a special interview edition here of the Daily Fantasy Fix. We love to bring along some of the big winners, especially people who maybe are a little bit more unheralded than they should be. And I think our guest here today falls into that category. I think could be bang for your buck, one of the more underrated players out there, is qualified for a ton of live events over at DraftKings, and just won $100,000 in their million-dollar home run tournament just a couple of days ago. And he goes by the username BW5126. That name is not particularly great for a daily fantasy handle. But David Epstein now joins us here on Roto Grinders. David, welcome to the show. Congrats on a huge night last night, my man.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
Let's first talk about the sweat, and then we'll get into you as a player. I mean, you are somebody who put in, I believe, 80 teams last night. And you had a handful kind of in contention. Take me through, first off, the lineup building process. I mean, 80 teams, did you plan it out ahead of time, or did you just kind of, build them out and just kind of go with the flow? I mean, how do you go about putting that many teams in a tournament?
No, well, I analyze the matchups over the course of the day, and I figure out which matchups I want to hit and how many times I want to hit those specific matchups, and then I'll build like a certain amount of teams from those. I don't just try to hit everything. I zone in on certain teams, and I had the Astros, which was the team that won, was one of the teams that I zoned in on, and I made five teams with a lot of Astros in them. So,
do you remember what it was about that matchup? Because you look at the percentage owned, and you were maybe one of maybe 10 guys who might have stacked that team throughout the entire tournament. I mean, percentage owned under 1% or under 2% on at least half of the guys you had.
Right. Well, I knew specifically everyone was going to be targeting Tyson Ross, including me. I used Tyson Ross a lot. I had him on a lot of my teams. But I also knew because of that, people were not going to be playing the Astros. But I knew, if you just saw what James Shields did the night before, I said Tyson Ross could have 12 strikeouts and be a good play, and the Astros could still score 7 runs, and they could be a good play too. So I figured they would be very low-owned because everyone was going to be playing Ross, and I just figured I would take a shot on them because they could still, Altuve and Springer, they could still steal bases and hit home runs even when they're striking out every other at-bat.
And that's exactly what you did. Home runs there from Springer, Gattis, Carter. Just a monster day for the Houston Astros, and certainly led you to victory. Now, of your 80 teams that you made, did you literally stack, do a 6-person stack on all 80? Was that the strategy you rolled with, or did you mix it up at all?
No, that was the strategy I went with. I basically had a 6 person's full stack for every team I went with. Not always the same 6 players.
Sure.
But that is the strategy I implemented. Yes.
And you've qualified for a lot on DraftKings baseball as well. I think last year you made it to Atlantis. Have you just found when you get, when you talk about these large field tournaments, that's the way to take it down on DraftKings?
So I actually think a certain field tournament, it is the way, meaning like, I have had success with it, with a Perfect Game, which is like a 500-person tournament. I thought that last night might be actually a little too big for it to work, because a lot of times when there are 3,000 people in it, 10th, like the playoff pitch, a lot of times stacks don't necessarily win those. It's people that just, you know, hit on all the players they play. So, you know, I was fortunate that last night it worked out for me.
Now, let's talk about a few of the other unsung players outside of the Houston Astros. Mark Trumbo, 38 fantasy points. I don't know if he was the highest scoring player, but certainly one of them. I mean, obviously he was in a good matchup. I mean, he was still about 10% owned in the tournament. Was he somebody that you were using across the board? I mean, I wouldn't say across the board on 80 teams, but in a large chunk of your stacks as that additional player?
No, actually not at all. I was mainly using Jacoby Ellsbury, who had a nice game, was a little bit more expensive than Trumbo. That team just happened to have Trumbo. It might have been one of the few teams that I had with him. It was actually really funny. I had two teams that finished like 9th and 11th, and those teams were in 1st and 3rd. And when Trumbo hit his the home run, those teams that were in 1st and 3rd dropped. And like I was like so upset that Trumbo hit that home run. And now, like, I wasn't going to be able to finish, and then I had to finish in first. And then that Astro team really, like, was in, like, 200th at the time of that home run, and that home run really jumped them. And then Chris Carter homered, and, like, it's really great. That team came out of nowhere, like, the left. Like, I was sweating these other teams, and then all of a sudden this team, you know, it was really a really crazy night. Like, I'm not able to verbally explain well, how like crazy it was.
Well, let's talk about Jay Happ here before we get into the sweat, because Happ finished with more points than Clayton Kershaw, which I don't think many expected, yourself included. Why'd you take the shot on him? I mean, obviously going against Texas in a hitter's ballpark didn't seem like an ideal situation. Again, only 2% owned. How much did you use him in your 80 teams, and did it just match up with Houston?
Yeah, I mean, with Texas, I used Happ a lot. Like, okay. I really like him. He was good. He was good. He's been good. He's been really good. And I think Texas's offense doesn't like impress me that much. Like, definitely doesn't scare me from using Happ. And I know that it's a hitter's ballpark, but I feel that's a little bit overstated, especially this time of year. I think in the summer it gets a little bit crazy there, but I thought a lot of people would be thinking that it's a hitter's ballpark, so they're not going to play him. And I just really liked him. I didn't think he'd have the game he had. Obviously, I was, you know, 9 strikeouts was definitely not what I thought he would do, but I was pleasantly surprised.
I'd say so. A huge game for him. We're talking with David Epstein. BW, 5126, big winner just a couple of days ago, joining the six-figure club, $100,000 first-place win. Now, let's get to the sweat. You mentioned this wasn't a team that you were really expecting maybe to win it late. Are you a guy who usually sweats games late into the evening, or was this, hey, a certain circumstance? I had 80 teams with $100,000 to first place, and you were staying up, or is this a common occurrence for you?
No, yeah, it's common occurrence. I wish I had the personality where I could make my lineups, and my wife's smiling at me right here. I wish I had the personality where I could make the lineups and just be like, all right, now I'm going to do what I do at night. I'll do other things, but like literally I'm glued to the TV. I have 3 TVs with the games on, and I'm like glued to it till it ends, till, you know, 2 in the morning sometimes, and I'm just like glued. And like a lot of times, you're right, it's not such a big sweat most of the night, so like I'll do other things, I'll watch other shows. In the middle of the night last night, like 10 o'clock, 10:30, my wife's like, I know you're watching your baseball, but how do you might mind helping me in the kitchen for like 15 minutes right now? And I'm like, no, definitely not. I'm definitely not helping you in the kitchen.
I love it. Now, you mentioned your wife. Was she sweating this with you last night? I mean, obviously she had to be, you know, under, you know, probably feeling you out and being like, this seems a little bit different than normal. You know, you had 2 teams up near the top, so you know, you had a chance. Even if those teams didn't win, you looked like you were in contention. Did she go along for the ride last night?
So I think her heart was in the right place. Like, in the 4th inning of the Dodgers game, she was like, all right, well, I'm staying up for the rest of these games. And I'm like, you know, it's like the 4th inning of the 10 o'clock games. Like, there are like 2 more hours left of these games. And she's just like, yeah, I'm going to sleep. Tell me what happens in the morning.
So did you tell her what happened in the morning, or was the excitement too much that you had to wake her up and say, hey, we won $100,000?
Fortunately, our 10-month-old woke us up. So she was up, the timing worked out, and I told her.
Well, that's awesome. Now, obviously, I'm guessing this is your biggest score. I mean, you had a lot of, you know, Qs that you've won and qualified for. I know you haven't taken down the big prize yet, but biggest score for you in Daily Fantasy?
Yeah, it definitely is the biggest night overall, for sure.
Now, where do you go from here, okay? I mean, first off, you know, you're somebody who's always been aggressive in the Qs. You know, I've met you at the couple of DraftKings Live finals I've went to. So, you know, you're a guy who, you know, shoots for the moon here. You just got a lot of ammunition out there. I'm guessing you're going to go pretty hard for these Qs moving forward.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. Tonight was actually the first night I played the Qs so far.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I've been having such good success playing the cash games that I've been just, like, focusing on that. And I'm definitely going to pick and choose my spots at the qualifiers. You know, the events in Vegas, it's amazing. It's, like, such a great time. But I don't know. I'm enjoying playing Perfect Game and Gold Glove and having success with that so far.
Yeah, you're making a lot of money doing it. So yeah. Don't change it if it's working out well for you. You know, where do you stand, or where are you in terms of a daily fantasy player? Are you a guy, you consider this as your job? Do you have another job? Obviously, you mentioned wife and kids at home. What's your, like, living situation here? I think people are always curious of those things.
I work from home. I don't consider this my full-time job because I sell tickets. I'm a ticket broker, so...
Oh, okay.
But, you know, I work from home. It's basically a very online-based job. And everything's pretty streamlined with that. So in terms of my time focus is definitely devoted to DFS. So I don't know if that answers the question. But it's not my full-time job, but it may as well could be with the time I put into it.
Yeah, and becoming pretty lucrative in the process. Now, how is it... As a challenge, I mean, I'm in your shoes. I've got a wife. I've got a couple of kids. Is it hard to juggle it sometimes? I mean, you know, how is your wife's support around you with Daily Fantasy? I mean, did it take some big wins to kind of sell her on exactly what you're doing? It was worth the time investment? Because it's a challenge, I think, for a lot of people in your and I situation to, you know, have our wives understand what we're trying to do.
Yeah, I think the Bahamas trip was a big step forward, where she was like, "Oh, I can get this nice Bahamas trip," you know. But it is very tough, you know, especially the time the lineups lock is when it's time to, like, feed my kids and put them to sleep, and I'm, like, busy making lineups. It is very difficult, but, like, my wife's great about it. Once the lineups lock, I help out. I help put my kid to sleep, but, like, she knows from, like, 5:30 to 7:10, I'm, like, out of commission.
Understandable. We're all been there before. Now, are you strictly a DraftKings player? I mean, that's the only place I've seen you. Do you play on any other sites? You play on FanDuel? What's your situation there, and have you thought about expanding if you haven't?
That's a good question. I definitely play on FanDuel, but not as much. I've had more success on DraftKings in general throughout the sports, so I've just stayed there. And, like, I've dabbled in FanDuel. I find FanDuel harder to handle multiple lineups.
Mm-hmm.
So while trying to manage all my drafting lineups and then also dabbling in FanDuel and finding it very difficult to manage the multiple lineups there, I've basically just stayed with DraftKings. But I play there. I'm going to try to win some Qs in FanDuel also, but I haven't had the same success.
Well, again, you got some extra ammo to kind of go after those cues after your big win this week. Now, how long have you been playing Daily Fantasy? When did you get into it, and how did you find out about it? I was curious of that.
I don't know how I found out about it. I started playing on Draft Street, like, in 2013, and I would play – I'd go head-to-head against Max Dallery and G123. And they would take all my money. They literally just took all my money. and then DraftKings started coming more into the picture, and they would have big tournaments, and I moved over there. But I still mainly played on Draft Street until they went, DraftKings took them over. And then you know, there's a lot of good info out there, including, you know, Roto Grinders, you know, has a lot of good info. I started learning what it takes to win. And it's like I laugh now at, like, the lineups I used to put together, you know, and, like, I basically played it like I was a season-long player. Like, Justin Upton's only the same price as Sam Fold. Of course I'm going to play Justin Upton. You know, I never take any of the other contextual factors into account. So Max Dallery and G123 must have enjoyed that from me in 2013.
Well, are you – and you said you've been playing a lot of cash games, but I know you're also a tournament guy. But, you know, you talked about some of the higher-dollar tournaments. I mean, do you play head-to-head games now? Is that where you make your bread on a day-to-day basis? Is it 50-50?
No, not really. I know I said cash games, but I really meant GPPs instead of the qualifiers. I mainly hit the GPPs, and I don't really play cash games. I know I might be missing out, that I maybe should get into it. My mind doesn't work for cash game lineups. Like, the whole idea of being safer, you play this guy in cash games. I mean, I played head-to-head against Pete Jennings in cash games in NBA, and he laughed at me. He's like, yeah, you're a GPP player.
Well, yeah, playing Pete head-to-head is not highly recommended if you're a GPP player. That is probably not going to work out too well for you in the end. We're talking with David Epstein. Guy's moving up the ladder in terms of daily fantasy players. Had another huge win this past week, in the $1 million home run, $100,000. And now, are you always a multi-entry guy? Like, what's your typical number of teams that you're making? And I mean, is it like I make five teams and then I put five teams in all the tournaments, or do you ever like struggle and say, okay, I'm going to put 10 in this one, but I don't want to, you know, maybe put 10 in a gold glove, which is $10,000. I mean, how does that work for you in terms of multi-entry? Is it just certain number of teams, all tournaments, or do you have to pick and choose sometimes?
No, I definitely have to pick and choose which teams I want to play in gold glove. And I find that it's very difficult. Sometimes, you know, you can make great teams and then you don't end up playing them in the gold glove, which was, you know, yesterday I actually ended up winning gold glove with not one of my better teams, not one of my better of the 80 teams, which, you know, which is nice when that happens. A lot of times it's like, oh, I could have picked any of these 20 teams. It would have won, but I didn't, you know?
Yeah, no, that's the one frustrating thing about me is whenever I multi-enter a tournament, and I feel like, I'll throw it in this tournament. Like, I always have that buyer's remorse of, like, what if I don't throw that team in? Like, you know, if I don't throw them all in, that team that I don't put in is going to be the one that hits. Right. And it absolutely drives me crazy. So that's kind of what I run into sometimes.
I'm totally the same way. And that's why I enjoy GPPs more than cash games, because, like, I think I'm good at making teams, but then if you ask me, okay, you have these 10 teams, pick which ones are going to be the best, I would be terrible at that.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of critics out there. You know, there's a lot of people who feel like multi-entry is not, you know, as skillful as it should be in terms of daily fantasy. And it's not directed towards you, but that's just in general. There's a lot of people who multi-entry games. What do you say to those kind of people about that? I mean, I think you've probably proven your success out over the long run that there is, but, I mean, does it ever bother you? I don't know if you follow Twitter and this and not, this and that, and see people, you know, or our forums, people talk about multi-entry. What's your feelings about people with that kind of opinion?
Oh, sure. I read about it all the time. I laugh. I don't think anybody knows who I am. So I never. Everyone hates Dandy Don and Max Dallery, but I'm like on the outskirts. Like, oh yeah, those multi-entry.
That's teams. Because you've got a terrible username. That's why nobody will remember BW5126. But Max Dallery or Dandy Don, boom, easy off the top of the head.
Totally true. I mean, it's a really like. Great question. When I first started, I mean, last year, the gold glove, I mean, now it's like tonight, it's 250 people. Last year, it was like 30 people. And I would play it, and I didn't have the bankroll I had now. And STL cards would have like 8 or 9 entries in it, and I would have like 2. And I'd be like, all right, how are my 2? You know, it is very daunting. Like, I get why people don't like it, but like STL cards was winning and winning and winning. And it was successful for him playing the 9 lineups. And then like I would come in with my 2 or 3, and I would hit on them, and all of a sudden I would start beating his nine sometimes. And like, you know, it's like, he's my nemesis. I've never met him. I've never spoken to him, but it's like, ah, I had two and I beat his nine. And then you just start doing it, and you start winning a little bit more. And then you just realize that, like, yeah, it's easy to hate and be like, oh yeah, he did it because, like, I won because I had 80 lineups. But like, I could show you so many tournaments where I had 80 lineups and lost all my money. So, like, I just think it's easy, instead of saying, oh, Max Dallery's good, oh, Dandy Don's good, it's easy to be like, yeah, they put in a lot of lineups, so then obviously they're going to win. So I don't want to say it's like a jealousy thing, because, like, of course putting in all those lineups gives them advantage over somebody putting in one. Like, there's no doubt about that, but it obviously takes a lot of skill to win also. So.
And it, like you said, it doesn't always work out. There's been many a times where yourself or those other two guys have put in a mass number of teams and at the end of the day took a bath. So
I should show you my numbers from the Millionaire Makers.
It didn't work out well for you?
Very much not so.
Well, where do we go from here? Okay, $100,000. You know, it seems like, you know, you've had big wins in the past, and you've probably poured it back into the bankroll. Are you going to take anything out? Are you going to buy your wife something nice? I mean, come on. You got $100,000 now to, you know, add it to. You don't need to spend it all. So what's the plan here?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of money. I'm going to start taking some of that, using some of it. I'm going to hopefully keep on going and keep on winning and grow it, but also definitely I've no plans of any great purchases other than my phone's broken, so I'm planning on buying a new phone.
There you go. Well, that works. just make sure you download those DFS apps, you know, stay on top of things. Well, David, I want to congratulate you on an unbelievable lineup you put together the other day. And again, I don't say this lightly, one of the more underrated players out there. Glad we were able to kind of put you on this forum here. And look forward to seeing what you have down the road. I mean, heck, FanDuel's got another $1 million tournament coming next week. Both these sites have $4 million finals, DraftKings and FanDuel. So I'm sure this won't be the last we hear of you. But thanks so much for your time here today.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. That's going to wrap us up here. Thank you so much for checking us out. Find us on iTunes and on Stitcher for myself, Dan Bach. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning here on the podcast, RotoGrinders Daily Fantasy Fix.
Thanks for listening to the RotoGrinders Daily Fantasy Fix podcast. Don't miss an episode by subscribing to it on iTunes and Stitcher. And for up-to-the-minute DFS news, please follow us on Twitter @RotoGrinders.